DW.
It's not only wild animals that are vulnerable in conflict zones, though. In the chaos of fighting, animals are often left behind or forgotten. This includes zoo animals in their cages, unable to escape the frightening realities of war around them. Amazingly, there are people who travel the opposite direction of retreating civilians and head into harm's way to save these animals. I recently spoke with one of them, Dr. Amir Khalil, a veterinarian who has spent the past 25 years in places like Gaza, Aleppo, and Mosul on missions that have put his life in danger, but ultimately that have saved the lives of thousands of animals. Dr. Khalil began by telling me how he came to this line of work.
I born in Egypt, and I born during a wartime between Israel and Egypt, and I hear this word enemy and to hate the other, even if you don't know them. And it was very sad to see this. And I saw a lot of signs where people are going in more political conflict and speak about human and don't care about animal. I watched children throw dogs with stones on the street. And they make fun about this. And I realized after this, after some years, and I study, that things change. And this exactly, these children become to be more fanatical, more aggressive. I born in the Middle East. I mean, my background, I'm Orthodox or Copt. And I mean, I believe in God somehow. And I believe that when God is even born or Jesus is born, we say he born between animals. He born in a stable for animal, not in a palace, not in a nice house, not in a nice area. So animal is a part of the history in our region in the Middle East. And on the other hand, if we speak about kindness, I see all the time kindness should not be divided. A kind person should be kind to animal and to human, not only to human. And personally, I was impressed when I was a child to watch a TV series, American one, for Daktari. And I wish to be like this doctor in the jungle, I will say, which is able to live free and to help animals. And somehow this was my wish since my childhood to become a vet.
How do you find out about the animals in these zoos? Do concerned citizens contact you? Or how do you decide what your next mission is going to be?
Normally, a lot of... We follow sure the news, or I follow the news. It's one of my main job to see where is really potential conflict and where there is zoos in dangerous zones. But on the other hand, especially in the war zones, there is a lot of kind people who really try to contact us. They know about our work and ask how we can feed this animal. I mean, in Mosul, neighbor of the zoo tried to find a way through Facebook to contact for posts to ask how we can feed a lion, what we should feed a bear, because there is no one going to the zoo for some days. So the local tried to find a way how to help this animal, and they need support. And we start after this to make a mission plan and to coordinate how to take animal, because it's a very complicated mission.
How do you go about evacuating the animals in these areas that may be active war zones? What are some of the logistical challenges?
It is a nightmare. I would call it nightmare, not a logistic challenge, because you have to go through different tribes. We cannot sure work with rebels, but we try to find contact on the ground. Sometimes we have to make disguising plans, like to have empty convoy, because there is maybe I would call them bad guys waiting to confiscate the animal or to take them or to make pressure on us. So we have to coordinate with a lot of, I would say, in political and the army level, because a lot of places what we visit, people don't believe we transport the animal. No one care about this. They think we are maybe transporting weapons and they will immediately shoot our trucks with animal. Sometimes we have to keep silent and not to say we have animal in some places in a war zone. And sure, I wish for my God and the luck and the coordination and the help of the animal not to make any noise if they pass a special checkpoint. Otherwise, everyone will look, oh, what a lion, and they will stop everything. So it's really complicated. And to bring the animal out, to feed the animal, to get medicine. Sometimes we have to check the animal and to scan the animal to prove that there is no bombs inside. So it is really very difficult, but at the end of the day, we think it's very valuable work to save life, animal or human, is one thing for us. And this is the way what we are able to help. And I'm a veterinary doctor, so I'm able to help animals.
The story in Aleppo in Syria was particularly interesting. Could you explain a little bit about the plans that needed to be made for that and how you carried out that rescue?
Sure, it was a lot of preparation, but I mean, in Syria especially, I was shocked when I was involved in planning and tried to make a plan to see the American are there, the Russian are there, the Turkey are there, Israel, Hezbollah, court, Bashar al-Assad regime, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, everyone is fighting there. And from where to go, it was a nightmare. The animal was in a zoo, which is under Ahrar al-Sham and al-Nusra. These are linked group to Al-Qaeda. You cannot go in or out. It's a closed area. We ask the support of the American and the Russian, of everyone. Everyone say yes. If you, the animal, you take them out. So it was the main challenge, how to bring the animal out of this area. The second, we need to get agreement with the Turkey government to open the border for us. We cannot transport this animal from this area during the day because any aeroplane will make airstrike and they will believe it is weapons. We have to have a local team to coordinate that no snipers on both sides of the road not to shoot this truck. So it was a nightmare, and we succeeded in the first trial to not to evacuate all the animals, but to evacuate 9 animals. And a few days after, we were able to take the last 4 animals. It was a great teamwork from our side and really a lot of support from locals and different and volunteers and local people in Syria who supported this type of mission. And we learn, and myself learn, that animals sometimes connect the people, build the bridges between nations. It was so amazing to see people who against each other, kill each other, and when they see a truck with wild animal, everyone wants the weapons on the ground and try to carry the transport box of a lion or a tiger and to take a selfie and to smile and to see kids try to watch and smile. And this is what I believe in. Animal might be sometimes part of the solution or can create understanding about humanity, because animals don't understand what's going on with all this type of weapons and shooting and the explosions. And I think for them, we are the big zoo outside their cages when they see human kill each other without reason.
Do you have a favorite recovery story of one animal in particular?
I have, sure, a lot of animals, but there is one Syrian brown bear, which I took from Mosul. So I was stuck at the border for 9 days. So I have to stay with the lion and the bear in the same truck. And I have nothing to do. It was so boring. So I speak with the animal. And I asked this bear to be quiet and not to make any noise when she passed over 13 checkpoints with rebels. Because I said in this car, there is vegetables. I don't say there is wild animal. We communicate that we have vegetables in our truck. And I don't believe the animal really understood everything, and they were very quiet. The lion and the bear don't make anything. So this bear, in fact, Lula, she eat her 2 babies during the war because she was scared. So to protect them, she eat them. And she was very traumatized with mental disturbance. But currently this bear with another Syrian brown bear in Jordan called Baloo. And you cannot imagine to see like a couple of bears, how they love each other or how they watch and observe each other. So it's like you see a Romeo and Juliet love story in a movie. So sure, I am touched to such type of humanity from the animal side more than human.
And do you ever go back and see these animals that you've rescued years later?
I learned in many years not to have a personal touch to the majority of the animal. Otherwise, I will stuck beside the animal. My job is to rescue and to move. And I trust the teams, which is great, qualified, and are able to deal with. But sure, I feel happy and I feel great when I see animals are forgetting me totally. They don't care about me. If I go to them, they will eat me. I am a food for them. They are wild animals. And I have to respect them. I don't want to have pets. I mean, I like lions because he's a lion. A tiger is a tiger. Born to be wild.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. DW.